Happy Festivus, everybody! This is your NXT review for Wednesday, December 23rd, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster, Santa Solemn Monster. I don't have the hat on, but we got a little festive atmosphere here. See, Sting is not the only one who can make it snow. I got those powers, too. Putting everybody in the holiday spirit. Gotta love the holidays. With AEW preempted on TNT due to the NBA game, we're doing NXT live for a change. It's a little bit different. Normally, we're talking AEW on Wednesdays, but I was not going to go live at midnight. So I figured the consolation prize was NXT for tonight, which I thought was a good show. But tonight was a good show. They're building to New Year's Evil on January 6th. Announced a whole bunch of matches tonight, but three main takeaways coming out of the show tonight. We're getting a fight pit between Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher. Where have you heard that idea before? How many times have you heard me talk about fight pit? This is ripe for a fight pit match, and we're getting a fight pit. That's number one. Number two, Mercedes Martinez dodged the mother of all bullets. When this year is over and she looks back at her 2020, she can go, whew, and wipe the sweat off her brow. Nobody got luckier than Mercedes Martinez, who made her return on the show here tonight. Instead of being in whatever the hell that is on Monday Night Raw. Wearing a mask. Acting like a fool, she showed up tonight and went right for the champion, right after the NXT Women's Champion. That's how you do it. She dodged a bullet. And the other thing, the third thing, I think Adam Cole is costing Kyle O'Reilly the NXT Championship in 2 weeks. That's what I think is going to happen. Kyle O'Reilly is going to be challenging Finn Balor for the NXT title at New Year's Evil. Adam Cole is his biggest supporter. He was cheerleading him all night long, but they're landing on a little thick. And I think instead of just doing a straight-up match with another, you know, just clean win for Finn, I think the big angle they shoot on that first show of the new year is going to be Adam Cole, a jealous Adam Cole, costing Kyle O'Reilly the championship. So those are my three takeaways from the show. This review, I don't know how long this review will go on for, but take whatever questions you may have. You know, we're just hanging out tonight. The only thing I'm missing is my mug with some hot tea or hot cocoa or something, kind of to fit the motif, to fit the theme here. That's the only thing that's missing. Show opened with a street fight for the NXT Tag Team Championship. Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch defending against Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. Maverick and Dane jumped the champions during their entrance. Didn't even give him a chance to get to the ring. And all of a sudden, this street fight was underway. This was the second street fight on WWE television this week with teams tagging in and out of the ring. Partners, teammates having to tag in and out. We saw it on Monday Night Raw. They had a holiday street fight. Why do there need to be tags in a street fight with no disqualifications? Why? So they could figure out who the legal man is? It's a fucking street fight. It doesn't matter who the legal man is. Anything goes. You got guys using chairs and putting people through tables, but oh, I gotta make the tag. Just dumb. Stupid. They did it twice this week. Maverick was getting whipped by a leather strap. Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch taking turns whipping this guy. Killian Dane tagged himself in for the hot tag. He took care of the champions. Splashes, suplexes. He ends up on the apron. Now, there were tables, too. I believe two tables set up outside the ring. And Dane ends up on the apron. He ends up getting knocked off the apron. The idea was he would get knocked off the apron, and he would land through the table or maybe both tables on the outside. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out that way. He landed on one of the tables, and the table just sort of keeled over. And Wade Barrett is very good at his job, chimed in very quickly without missing a beat, and said, here in NXT, they reinforce the tables. What else can you say in a situation like that? It's as good of a save as you could possibly ask for. They reinforce the tables in NXT. I am the table. Killian Dane had his I am the table Botchamania moment. Drake Maverick ended up catching Danny Burch with a low blow. Lorcan caught Maverick with a low blow. And Burch hit Maverick in the gut with a cricket bat. Lorcan and Burch finished Maverick off with their double team finish to retain the titles. You know, the match was fine, you know, as an opener. Right out of the gate, again, they didn't even let them finish making their entrance. Big brawl to open the show. But, you know, we just came off a TLC pay-per-view. And at the TLC pay-per-view, we saw people getting put through tables left and right. How many fucking tables exploded on Sunday? Chair shots and ladder shots and tables. And then you see something like this, and this was very tame. You know, I mean, this really didn't even have to be a street fight. You do too many of these types of stipulations so close together, and it just doesn't have that same excitement that it would feel, you know, if it kind of stood on its own. So coming off TLC, as street fights go, very tame, but no title change. No title change here in the opener. But this show tonight was all about a very Gargano Christmas. That was the whole theme for the show. Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae, they were celebrating Christmas. This was the Christmas episode of NXT. Just like I guess you could say this is the Christmas episode of the Sound Off. Here tonight on the stream. Celebrating the holidays. So it was a very Gargano Christmas. And we had a whole series of segments throughout the entire show. This was the first one. And I have to say, all of these segments were very cheesy. They were exceedingly cheesy, but they were cheesy, I thought, in a good way. They were cheesy in a good way. I enjoyed them. I enjoy the heel cheesy version, I guess you would say, of Johnny Gargano. I'm digging the character. I'm digging the new faction, The Way. That's what they call him and Candice and Indy Hartwell and Austin Theory. And out of all of these segments, I think it was the second one or the third one, there was actually a joke that made me laugh. There was one joke that actually I thought was very clever, but we'll get to that. So in the first segment, Johnny is at home. He is playing the piano. And he starts filming. And he's going to film their kids. So they're treating Indy Hartwell and Austin Theory like they're, you know, a couple of children. I know some people aren't going to like the way that they're probably portraying Austin Theory. They're portraying him like a geek. He really is. I mean, that's his new gimmick now. The guy is the geek on TV. He's like an overgrown child. He's always getting into things he shouldn't get into, and Johnny has to yell at him and tell him no. They did a thing here in the opening segment where, you know, he was going for a cookie, and Johnny was doing his best Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. Right, from a Kindergarten Cop. Put that cookie down now! So he puts the cookie down. You know, that kind of stuff. Like I said, it's cheesy as all hell, but I think it works. I was entertained by it. I like the part where he's talking about the love of his life as he zooms in, not on his wife, but he zooms in on the North American title belt. So that was the opening of the Gargano Christmas. We'll get back to that as we go along. They had a little mini documentary on Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor. Their first battle at TakeOver. Obviously, both men ended up banged up. More so Finn Balor, who broke his jaw in two places. I thought it was a very well done package. NXT does a lot of these as like prime targets. And they're very well done. You know, I think that you can use this formula on the main roster as well. Really gives it more of a big fight feel. So I thought this was well done. And look, the two of them are going to go out there in a few weeks, and they're going to have a great match. They're going to have a great match. I still think Finn Balor, Pete Dunne, that's a match that needs to happen at some point. I thought it would happen, you know, at the New Year's special, but this will be good too. So Mackenzie Mitchell, who is dating Vic Joseph. So Vic Joseph and Mackenzie Mitchell, they're like the new power couple there in NXT. She's in the back interviewing Malcolm Bivens, who is with his new, recruit, Tyler Rust. We saw him for the first time on TV a few weeks ago, or he's been making a few appearances recently. But we haven't seen too much of him. And the last time we saw Malcolm Bivens on TV prior to all of this, he was managing Indushare. Indushare was a new team that had debuted in NXT. And then if you remember, when Keith Lee's NXT championship win got spoiled back in July, the reason it was spoiled, I believe, it was one of the members of Indushare who put a picture up on his Instagram and spoiled the whole damn thing. I'm sure he got quite a bit of heat for that. And it just so happens that I don't think we've seen either one of those guys since. Now, they are launching NXT India next month. This is big NXT India launch, I believe, in January at some point. I think they're earmarked for that roster, but you can't tell me that what happened in July didn't have anything to do with the fact that these guys got pulled from TV and we haven't seen them since. So the lesson in that is, if you're at the taping and you're working for the company and they're taping this big angle or this big title change, don't go on social media and spoil the fucking thing. That's the moral of the story. So now poor Malcolm Bivens was left with nobody to manage, and they put him with Tyler Rust. And he's hyping up his guy, and he, and I think this is a very lame nickname or a very lame line, but he says that Tyler Rust is his diamond in the rust. That doesn't work. That doesn't work for me. That don't work for me, brother. We get to Jake Atlas against Isaiah Swerve Scott. We got a lot of people in the chat who I think are simulcasting. They're watching the NXT review here. And they're also watching, I guess I take it AEW is on the air. So, what do you got? You got the dual monitor set going on here? Is that what's happening? I shall try my best to compare. Apparently Sting. I believe I am competing with Sting at the moment. Well, fuck Sting. I got snow too, bitch. Okay? Your snow doesn't impress me. I got snow too. Somehow I think Sting will get a better rating than me. Jake Atlas against Isaiah Swerve Scott. This is a rematch from the week before. Scott had lost. He was a sore loser. He just refused to shake Jake Atlas's hand. And so we're seeing more heel tendencies now. We're seeing more heel tendencies with Swerve Scott, which is probably what this guy needs. Good match with these two. Some impressive stuff from Atlas that we haven't seen before. Scott countered a super poison Rana off the top, landed on his feet. And then Scott caught Atlas with a jump kick, a jumping pump kick. Hits Atlas with the JML driver for the win, and Scott is just on cloud nine when this match is over. This guy is gloating. He is acting. Beth Phoenix is disgusted by his behavior. She says that he's acting very disrespectful. And he wants to shake hands with Jake Atlas. And Atlas wants to have nothing to do with the guy. So he bails. So we're inching in a more heel direction for Swerve Scott, who really hasn't done much of anything so far. I mean, I know he challenged for the Cruiserweight title at one point. But he really hasn't made his mark yet on the NXT roster. Maybe as a heel, once he goes full heel, perhaps that'll happen. Vic Joseph, on commentary during this match, talked about Kurt Stallion. And I thought to myself, wow, Kurt Stallion, man, I haven't heard that name in so long. So actually, no, I haven't heard that name at all. I haven't been watching 205 Live. I'm like, who the fuck is Kurt Stallion? And so this is part of the problem. I was thinking about the Cruiserweight title. And I think that Santos Escobar does, you know, as good of a job as he can do. He is a tremendous wrestler. I knew that from the moment I started watching his stuff on Lucha Underground. And he wanted to go to WWE many years ago, but they wouldn't let him out of his contract. And now he's there. And he's got all the tools, I think, to be a big star. He's been the Cruiserweight champion now for a while. And now we're at this point where it just feels like he's a champion, but he's almost in the background. You don't really see him too much. Now they're talking about Curt Stallion. You know, if the Cruiserweight title is an NXT championship, then it should be contested in NXT with NXT talent. And if you're going to use talent from 205 Live and talk about, oh, Curt Stallion, you know, well, how many times have we seen Curt Stallion on NXT? Get this guy on NXT more often. I'm not watching 205 Live. I'm watching NXT. And NXT has an NXT Cruiserweight champion. He's not the 205 Live champion. So if this guy is next in line as Vic Joseph or Waldo, whatever the fuck he was dressed as tonight, if that's what, you know, if he's next in line for a shot at the title, then tell me why I should care. But they kind of just threw it out there like, oh, Curt Stallion. It's like, how often exactly has Curt Stallion been featured here on NXT? Not very often. In fact, I had to look up when he got signed. He only got signed back in October, so he's very new to the roster. But I shouldn't have to watch 205 Live to figure out what's going on with the Cruiserweight title. There's a problem here. There's a problem here with that title and the division that has to be fixed. But Escobar is a star. This guy is going places. I don't know that I have a lot of faith in the main roster, but even in NXT, he's a guy who could be competing for the North American title. He could be competing one day for the NXT championship. Andrade did it. There's no reason that this guy can't. Mackenzie Mitchell was, boy, she was all over the place tonight. She interviewed Adam Cole and Roderick Strong about their thoughts on Kyle O'Reilly going for the championship. And again, this plays into what I said at the beginning about what I think is going to happen on January 6th. They're really laying it on here. Like, oh, you know, Kyle, man, he's going to do it. Kyle's the man, you know. And Velveteen Dream shows up. We haven't seen Velveteen Dream on TV in many, many weeks. Don't know why. I don't know if he was injured. I don't know if he had COVID. I don't know what the situation was, but he's back. And he was acting like a dick, and so Cole smacked him. And that led to him basically making a match for the main event. It was going to be Adam Cole against Velveteen Dream. You know, we've seen guys go from being a star in NXT to being thoroughly wasted on the main roster. And we've also seen talent go from NXT and become stars on the main roster. It doesn't happen as often as it should, but we've seen our fair share of talent, unfortunately, who were up here in NXT, go to the main roster, and now they're way down here. We've seen that. It's rare to see somebody who is on NXT, who has not yet gone to the main roster, who's in NXT, whose stock has dropped as fast and as hard as the Velveteen Dream. I was just like everybody else a year ago. I had Velveteen Dream pegged for big things on the main roster. Any day now, this guy's going to get called up. This guy could be a big star. Vince McMahon is going to love this guy. Look at him. I mean, he's, you know, he's a good worker. He's not great. He's fine. But he's got the charisma. He's got the personality. He comes out every month with different flashy attire. Like, this guy can be something on the main roster. I'm not sure he'll ever make it to the main roster. I'm surprised he's even employed anymore. After everything that was going on before, and they took him off TV for so long, and Triple H said everything is copacetic. All right, well, you know, he used to be up here in NXT, and now he's way down here. And can he get back there? It's possible. But he has fallen hard, and he has fallen fast. He has fallen out of favor, I think, with the wrong people. Timothy Thatcher was in the back, and he was cutting a promo on Tommaso Ciampa. He said tonight he's going to make an example out of Leon Ruff. Spoiler, he didn't. Rhea Ripley against Dakota Kai. Good stuff from these two. Not surprising. Dakota Kai probably doesn't get enough credit. Probably doesn't get as much credit as she should for being very good. And Rhea, obviously, we know what Rhea Ripley can do. Rhea reversed a code red into an inverted cloverleaf. And Raquel Gonzalez showed up on stage. But Raquel Gonzalez was barred from ringside. So all she could do is just stand there. All she could do was stand there and watch from afar. And Rhea is staring at her and she's taunting her and telling her to come on down. Like she's on The Price is Right. By the way, if you are a Price is Right fan, I'm not talking Drew Carey. I'm talking Bob Barker. My new favorite thing to do when I have a few minutes here and there. There is an entire channel on Pluto. Pluto TV. Dedicated to Price is Right, the Bob Barker years. I've been watching Price is Right episodes with Bob Barker from the what looks like the early 80s. The guy still has black hair. And it's actually been a lot of fun. Back in the golden age of game shows. So if you're a Bob Barker fan, I mean, how could you not be after his appearance on Raw all those years ago with Chris Jericho? The guy was the best guest host they ever had. If you want to see Bob Barker in his prime on The Price is Right, Pluto TV, you can watch it all day long. Got a whole bunch of Christmas episodes this week. It's great. So Raquel Gonzalez did not come down. She's watching. Eventually, Dakota Kai did make it to the ropes to break the hold. Rhea dragged Dakota to the top rope. Kai kicked Ripley off the top and hit Rhea with a code red lung blower for a two count. Rhea countered a guillotine choke into the riptide for the win. And so now the match is over. It's a clean win for Rhea Ripley. And she is telling Raquel Gonzalez, the match is over. Come on down. And so Gonzalez obliges. She comes down to the ring. We have a face-off in the middle of the ring. And then these two women start slugging it out. And the referees crowd the ring and they separate them. We have a big pull-apart brawl here between these two. I don't mind another match between Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez. You will get no complaints out of me about having that match again. It will take place in 2 weeks at New Year's Evil. It will be a last woman standing match. We know this because Dexter Lumis, who is the host of New Year's Evil, he doesn't speak. He is a mute, but he draws pictures. He actually is a very talented illustrator. So at one point later in the show, they cut to him and he was illustrating, you know, an image of Dakota, or not Dakota, of Rhea and Raquel. And then he wrote last woman standing. So that's how he's going to announce stuff, I guess. He's going to talk to us through his pictures. So again, you get no complaints out of me about doing the match again. My thing is, I think it is incredibly silly that Raquel Gonzalez pinned the NXT Women's Champion in the War Games match, and that alone did not earn her a shot at the championship. I think that's silly. So if she has to go through Rhea Ripley to get there, then that's fine. In fact, she should win this match. Last match we saw between them was Halloween Havoc. Rhea got the win. It should be Raquel picking up the win here and then going on to get her shot at Io Shirai. Again, these two women, these two are two of the big players, or going to be two of the big players in the women's division. These two, Bianca Belair, I mean, you could see it. The future of the main roster women's division, Raw, SmackDown, it's going to have Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Raquel Gonzalez. These are the women that are going to be in the spots that Charlotte and Sasha and all of them are in right now. And who knows, you know, where Sasha and Charlotte and all of them are going to be in a few years, because, you know, if they want to go off and start a family and stuff, that opens up a spot. These are the women that are going to take those spots from them. We cut back to a very Gargano Christmas. I think this might have been, yeah, this was the one. This was the best of all the parts of this. So we cut back to the Gargano household. And Indy Hartwell is opening her gift, and she opens a PlayStation 5, and she's very excited. At least until she plays Cyberpunk, and then she won't be so excited. But she's got her PS5, but then she realizes that it's an empty box. There's nothing inside. And Johnny Gargano says, well, the PS5 was was my gift. I just, you know, for dramatic purposes, I wanted you to open the box and just do the big reveal on camera. But he said, you know, I've got a real gift for you. And the real gift that I'm giving you is I'm going to give you the family name. And she's like, the family name? And he goes, yes, from here on out, you are hereby Indie Wrestling. And I thought that was very, very clever. And I hope they continue to call her that on TV. I think Indie Wrestling absolutely is a nickname that's going to stick. I think it's perfect. I think it's just a perfect play on words. Candace was like, we love Indie Wrestling. So we had yet another segment involving Xia Li, Boa, and their Shifu, their master, these cinematic-type vignettes. Apparently, they're not really being tortured. They've gotten used to the torture. They're in hardcore training. And their Shifu said, I guess, you know, I guess they're just about ready. We got another close-up of this mystery woman's eyes. We don't know who it is. I still assume it's Karen Q. We'll find out soon. In fact, maybe New Year's Evil. Maybe on the January 6th show. They're going to show up and we'll find out what's going on here. I've enjoyed these segments, even though half the time I didn't know what the hell was going on. I thought they've been very well done. They kind of bring me back a little bit to Lucha Underground, which I miss. I do miss that show. Spanish Goddess from a little bit earlier. Christmas came early for me. Got myself an old Hercules Hernandez autograph. Oh, interesting. Okay. Random question. Who do you think was the best match of the year? I'm not going to answer that now. If I do a match of the year, it's going to be on the podcast. I'm not going to throw that out there as an answer now. Come on. You should know me better than that. We have the colossal Bronson Reed against Ashanti the Adonis. This was very brief. Reed made quick work of Adonis with the big tsunami splash off the top for the win. We haven't really seen Bronson Reed on TV much recently. Honestly, we had Bronson Reed was making a lot of very passive-aggressive tweets about people in NXT when there was the COVID spread, and I guess people weren't wearing masks and all this stuff. And I know he was very bothered by that. But now he's back on TV, and he picked up the win here. Mackenzie Mitchell was back in the locker room. She caught up with the NXT Women's Champion, Io Shirai. This is after an earlier promo in the back with Toni Storm, who said she's coming for her. She's coming after Io. She's coming after Io's championship. And Io said she heard what she said. She told the production guy to hit her music, and she stormed down to the ring. She set up a chair in the ring, and she sat down, and she was waiting for Toni Storm to come on out. Only Toni Storm did not come out. Mercedes Martinez came out. First time we've seen Mercedes Martinez on NXT television in months. It's the last time probably would have been the, what, probably the cage match that she lost to Rhea Ripley. Right before all this retribution garbage started. So here she is now. She's beaten up Io Shirai, and she actually threw her through the bottom part of the announce table. So she threw her into the front portion of the announce table, which is all wood, and Io went through the wood. I've never seen that before. Of all the table bumps that we've seen, I don't think I've ever seen somebody just go through the bottom part of the announce desk. And Mercedes Martinez posed, and she left the scene of the crime. I said it earlier at the beginning of the stream. I'll say it again. Nobody dodged a bigger bullet than Mercedes Martinez. Mercedes Martinez was part of Retribution. Mercedes Martinez reportedly, allegedly, went to management and said, I don't want to do this. I want to go back to NXT. And they obliged, and they sent her back. And I feel bad for all the other goofballs in Retribution. I feel bad for Dominik Dijakovic. I still feel, Dio Madden, of all the schmucks in Retribution, D.O. Madden is the one who, even with the mask and everything, I look at him and he's got a presence about him. I think he could still be something. Everybody else in that group, the longer that this retribution nonsense goes on for, their careers are done. They're finished. It is doing them no favors. But boy, did this woman dodge a bullet. It was the right move to make. I would like to think that she was smart enough to look at that and say, I've been doing this for 20 years. I'm not letting my career end like this. And now she's back and she's attacking the NXT Women's Champion. The other thing also that it illustrates is how stacked the women's division is. We already knew that. But now they have another person that they could add to the women's roster in that division to really strengthen it that much more. So an already stacked women's division on NXT just got even stronger. Back at the Gargano home, the final segment, Candice LeRae opened her gift. It was a wheel, a toy wheel that Johnny had retrieved from the junkyard. It was from Shotzi Blackheart's old tank that Candice had destroyed. And they all posed for a family photo, and that was the end of a very Gargano Christmas. The indie wrestling thing was the best part to come out of all of this. Easily. And again, that name better stick. That is the perfect name. Timothy Thatcher against Leon Ruff. Thatcher was dominating the match early on. And Wade Barrett made the comment that, he could win the match anytime he wants. He could win the match. Of course, he didn't win the match. Leon Ruff is the underdog. He's the 1-2-3 kid of NXT. He got a roll up and he pinned Timothy Thatcher. And so Leon Ruff picks up the win. Yet another loss for Timothy Thatcher, which is just ridiculous. Thatcher beat up Ruff at ringside, tossed him back into the ring, but Tommaso Ciampa snuck in. And before Thatcher could get back inside, Ciampa grabbed him, gave him the Widow's Bell DDT. He planted him. And then he whispered in his ear, "I'll see you in the fight pit." And he gave him a kiss on the head. And he left the ring. So there it is. January 6th, it is official. New Year's Evil, it will be a second ever fight pit match in NXT between Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa. There's only been one other one. It was Timothy Thatcher and Matt Riddle. And Thatcher got the win. And I said at the time, that should become his specialty. He should not be losing a fight pit match for a very long time. This guy has been losing left and right. So, yeah, he won the first fight pit match. He better win this one, too. I've been, calling the fight pit thing for weeks. But Thatcher has absolutely no heat whatsoever going into this match. He has been a loser every step of the way. And I just don't understand it. I just don't. Why has this guy been losing so much? This guy he's a shooter. He's supposed to be a tough guy, right? The fight pit, that's his match. That's his stipulation. But, it's hard to really get into it because the guy comes into this match. It's almost like you have to believe he's going to win. If he can't win this match, then I just don't even know what the point of him even being on this brand is anymore. He's got to win that fight pit match. William Regal told Leon Ruff a little bit later on in the show. Ruff came out of his office and he made the announcement that he was gifted a North American Championship match against Johnny Gargano next week on TV. So that match is happening on the final NXT of 2020. We had Aria Divari. Well, there we go. There's a 205 Live guy. I was just talking about 205 Live, right, a little while ago. There's a 205 Live guy. Taking on Tyler Rust with Malcolm Bivens. Divari was talking smack. That allowed Rust to lock on a triangle choke. Divari got to the ropes. Rust, though, fires off kicks, kicking this guy in the shoulder. And he ties Divari up into a submission for a win. Very brief. I need to see more of this guy. I'd like to see more of Tyler Rust. I think there could potentially be something there. I'd like to see more of Malcolm Bivens on TV. Malcolm Bivens has been signed to WWE. It's got to be at least a couple of years now. Has to be. And, I, you know, Indy Share was supposed to be, I guess, his first big break on NXT. And we all know what happened there. This guy's been sitting in the back doing a whole lot of nothing. So for his sake, I hope the Tyler Rust thing takes off so that he can continue to get TV time. Main event was Adam Cole. We're already at the main event. Adam Cole against the Velveteen Dream. Pete Dunne ran down. He attacked Roderick Strong, who is outside in Cole's corner. Bitter End on the apron. Heading into the picture-in-picture. I loathe the picture-in-picture. I loathe the throw to picture-in-picture. But don't go nowhere, because the action continues in this little box over here. Fuck you. Fuck you and your picture-in-picture. Hate it. Just put the fucking commercial on. I'll go to the bathroom. I'll go grab a snack. I'll do something else. Then I'll come back and we'll resume the show. Dream, we come back, and Dream is slugging away at Adam Cole in the corner. Cole hits a super kick to the back of Dream's left knee. So, naturally, what do you do after somebody has super kicked you in your knee? You climb to the top rope, which is what Velveteen Dream did. And it did not pay off. He came off the top rope to the floor. Cole caught him in the breadbasket. There's an old school term. There's a gorilla monsoonism. Caught him in the breadbasket with a super kick. Dream is very slow to crawl back into the ring, and Adam Cole hits another super kick, this one right in the mush. Cole locks on the figure four. Dream is crying out in agony, but eventually he makes it over to the ropes. Dream comes back with a DDT, and again, on one leg. What does he do? He climbs to the top rope. This guy clearly is not the brightest bulb in the box. He climbs to the top rope again. He hits the purple Rainmaker elbow. Only gets a two count. Cole comes back, hits the Ushiguroshi, and he's going for the Panama Sunrise. He's going for the Destroyer. When he comes off the ropes, though, Dream catches him with a super kick, and Dream, again, scales the ropes. How many fucking times is this guy with a bum knee going to scale the ropes? Well, he tries again, and on the way down, Cole catches him with a super kick, and then the last shot finishes off the Velveteen Dream. Adam Cole, to end the show, is in the ring alone. He is looking dead into the camera, and he says, at New Year's Eve, the NXT Championship comes back to the Undisputed Era. Adam Cole is going to cost Kyle O'Reilly the NXT Championship. That is what I believe is going to happen on January 6th, because Kyle O'Reilly is not winning the title. We've already seen Kyle O'Reilly one-on-one with Finn Balor. The match probably got called early because of the injury, but it was pretty much a decisive clean win for Finn Balor. I can't see them just repeating the match and just doing a clean finish and moving on. I mean, maybe they will. Maybe somebody will attack Finn when the match is over. But this seems to me like they're setting up for a major angle on the first show of the year, which is a smart thing for them to do. You know, they're going to be head-to-head with night two of the AEW New Year's Bash show. They're going to be up against Snoop Dogg. They got Sting and Snoop Dogg on January 6th to compete with. So that would be the time to shoot a big angle. And the big angle would be, I guess it would be a split in the Undisputed Era. Feels to me like that's where we're headed. So if I had to make a prediction on that, there it is. Because we've already, you know, we've been hearing comments from other people on TV, you know, about Kyle O'Reilly is the leader. Kyle O'Reilly is the heart and soul of Undisputed Era. Kyle O'Reilly is the one now challenging for the title that Adam Cole once held. So, you know, Adam Cole, at his core, is a heel. And maybe he doesn't like it. Maybe all this talk is starting to get to him. Does, you know, Pat McAfee factor into this in some way? Probably not. We haven't seen Pat McAfee since War Games, but January 6th, they're loading that show up as well they should. They have to. They got competition that night. Head to head. It's going to be a lot of good wrestling on TV that night. You know who benefits from that? We all benefit from that. I benefit from that. If I didn't have Wednesday night to talk about, and all I had was Monday, and then I guess Friday, I don't think I'd be doing this anymore. This at least brings some levity to things. So you gotta balance things out a little bit. I look forward to my Wednesday nights. I look forward to my Wednesday nights with all of you. I look forward to your feedback on Twitter as well. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll, see what you guys thought of tonight's show. At Solomonster, 64.7% thumbs up. And 35.3% thumbs down in the NXT poll. And as is the case, you guys know, with all of these polls, you can vote on Twitter at Solomonster. GV in the chat says Kyle O'Reilly really is the heart and soul of Undisputed Era. Well, he may be. Adam Cole, though, might see it a different way. That's all I'm saying. Adam Cole probably sees it a little bit differently than he does, you know? I'm going to get to all of your super chats. Let's take some phone calls as well. I want to hear from you guys. Super chats, phone calls. We'll hang out for a little bit here. And we'll get through all of your messages before we end the stream tonight. I hope you guys are having a great week. It is Festivus, one of my favorite holidays, the airing of grievances. I'm going to spare you from the airing of grievances because I air my grievances every week. I'm going to air my grievances on Sunday. You guys don't want more grievances. You get enough of that as it is. And why don't we begin with a caller? Why don't we begin with, I believe this is it Markel, I think, on the line?
Yes, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, what do you think about AEW?
What about it? I watched NXT tonight.
What do you think they're going to do with NXT? No, it's not the same like it was 3 years ago with Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Balor. They need to do something. It's feeling like Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, since it's all at the same
no,
place.
No, it's not. No. That's the biggest insult of all. You compare anything to Monday Night Raw, that's the biggest insult you could possibly to make about something. Look, NXT is going through something they go through every few years, which is they get rated, talent moves up to the main roster, and they have to replenish, and that's what they're doing. They're trying to create new stars. And that's what they're doing. And so it's not the same NXT it was a few years ago, but yeah, they have a lot of really good people down there who, you know, some of them are more over than others. And, you know, it's not the same, but I still think it's a good show. Not as good as it used to be, but I think it's still a good show.
What do you think about them having mental issues? You heard about that on the news, the people that are getting called up. They're very disappointed now. It's messing with their mental health.
Well, look, I mean, that's, I'm sure working in that company is going to screw you up mentally all kinds of ways. That's what you get if you work for WWE. Mm-hmm. You got to be prepared for that.
Yeah, we'll see how long NXT lasts. I feel like sooner than later, it's going to be history, like FCW. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't think it'll be history, but it could be history on USA at some point. I don't think that's going to happen for a while, though, because USA don't got no shows. USA used to have all these TV shows, and now they got shit. They have wrestling. That's all they have. So I don't think it's going to go anywhere anytime soon. But Markel, listen, I hope you have a great holiday. I know I talk to Markel sometimes on Facebook. I hope things are going well for you, mm-hmm. And I'm glad I got you in first, number one, tonight.
Thank you. I'll keep watching the show, and I'll message you on Facebook. Thank you.
All right, take care. Have a good holiday. That was Markel calling in, wondering about the future of NXT. NXT not being what it used to be. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what would you guys consider to be the glory days of NXT? Because I think back, like, the glory period of NXT, and I kind of go back to 2014, 2015, somewhere around there. But, you know, everybody's got their own preference as far as what period of NXT they like the most. But to compare NXT now to Monday Night Raw, I disagree wholeheartedly with that. That is just the worst insult that you could possibly pay to the NXT brand. Man, let's go to 214.
Hi, Solid Monster. How are you doing? My name is Lewis. I wanted to ask you a question, but first I want to say, in your next intermission, you should put Jingle Bell Rock by Hall & Oates, but that's just me.
I would, I would put Hall & Oates on every stream, but I would get hit by so many copyright notices, my head would spin. So there's a reason why you don't hear Hall & Oates.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to ask you, so with the way Raw's going, I think the only thing WWE can do, and I just want to hear your opinion, is you remember it used to be Wrestling Challenge before it was Raw. I think they need to do a whole paradigm shift where it's not going to have to be Raw anymore. It's going to have to be something completely new, because otherwise you can't fix this. I think the problem is that you look at the show and you just want to change the channel before it even starts. So I wanted to get your opinion on it, on just switching the whole thing, not to a Raw again, but to a whole new different show that has nothing to do with Raw, just making it a new show, a new presentation. And I just want to get your thoughts, and I'll wait off the air to hear your result.
Yeah, I get what you're saying as far as kind of out with the old, in with the new. Raw's got a stain on it right now. It's got a stink on it. It's going to be very hard to wash that away. People said that about TNA many years ago. TNA has to change its... I think I said the same thing. TNA has to change its name. The initials are absolutely poisoned. There was no coming back from it. And then they changed from TNA to Impact. You could make the same argument about Raw. The thing is, Raw has a lot of equity. Raw is going to be 30 years old in a couple of years. So there is still value in the Raw name. It is a brand. WrestleMania is a brand. WrestleMania has been a brand since 1985. Raw became a brand in 1993. That wasn't that long after WrestleMania. You're not just going to abandon that brand. The problem with Raw is that there's nothing raw about the show. What is so raw about Raw? It looks, you know, the look of the show is very polished and very clean. It is a very sterile show in every sense of the word, in terms of how it looks, in terms of promos on the show. I listen to some of these promos on TV, the stuff with Matt Riddle and Jeff Hardy on Monday night, and I feel like I'm watching a fucking elementary school play. Who is scripting this shit? Who is scripting this dialogue? These are the things that are killing Raw. There is nothing raw about the show. So if they could address those problems, it's not so much the name is the problem. There's a lot of equity in the name. I wouldn't change the name of the show. I would address the other issues first. The issue is not the name. You could change the name all you want to. If you don't address the underlying issues, I mean, you could call the show shit. You can call the show mutt, which I already do. You may as well call it Monday Night Shit. But it doesn't matter what it's called. You have to address the underlying issues. Lipstick on a pig. You've heard these analogies. You've heard these expressions before. Fix the problem. And then everything else will fall into place. And you want to know what the problem is? Guess what? You only need listen to the show from last week or find the clip on the channel. I told you exactly what the problem is. I told you exactly how you can start to fix the problems on Raw. Clips right here on the YouTube channel. The answer is right in front of your face. Unrealistic as it may be to think that it's actually going to happen, I made it very clear a few days ago what the issue is and what needs to happen. And until that happens, unfortunately, we go around in circles and we're going to be having the same conversation over and over again. 281.
Salamasa. This is Carlos, a.k.a. Lord Frieza. How you doing?
Lord Frieza. What has Lord Frieza got planned for the holidays this week?
Work.
Always
That's
fun.
That's all I do.
Always fun. I know that feeling.
But I'm giving you a call. I know it's been a while since I called, but I'm just literally giving you a call to, you know, say thank you for everything that you do, considering how, you know, things turned out this year. And I think, you know, your podcasts, your streams, they distracted a lot of us that either had to be on the road working or had, you know, had to stay at home, whatever it may be. So a big thank you for everything that you do.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm glad you guys enjoy the streams. I'm glad that you're part of our streams every week, part of our little community here.
I try my best. I try my best, even if I just, you know, pop in, super chat, gotta go, but I really appreciate it.
Awesome.
So, but anyway, so have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, and, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's to everyone in the chat, too.
Merry Christmas to everyone from Lord Freeze. Lord, thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great New Year, and I'm sure I'll see you on... Are you going to be able to join on New Year's Eve?
I think so, for sure.
Good.
I think so.
Good. Well, I'll be here. I'm going to be live right here, ringing in the New Year. So if you can make it, I'd love to have you.
Perfect. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. That was Lord Frieza, everybody. Yeah, I'm going to be talking more about that this weekend. A week from tomorrow is New Year's Eve. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to be live on YouTube. I'm going to be answering your questions. We're going to do another sound off inbox like we did for the anniversary last month. And I don't know if I'll take phone calls. Maybe we'll take phone calls too, but it'll be email questions that I'm going to start pulling this week. And obviously super chat, so you can send in questions and messages that night. And we'll ring in the new year together. We'll get rid of 2020. We'll put that in the history books. And we will enter into 2021 together. So if you don't have any New Year's plans, if you're not doing anything better, come on back to the YouTube channel and join me live. And we will ring in the new year. So let's go back to the Super Chats. We'll mix in some calls and some Super Chats. Again, the phone lines are open. You want to call in, try to get a spot in the line, and we'll get back to that here in just a second. So we had Naif and Spanish Goddish and Rodimus Prime with the $20. Can't wait for Ripley against Gonzalez at New Year's Evil, but glad Mercedes Martinez is back in NXT. Lord Frieza, who we just heard from. You're on the money when it comes to Raquel. She is a star in the making. You could tell that they think the same thing. I mean, why wouldn't they? The woman is... I mean, you look at her, and she's got a star presence about her. She's physically bigger than a lot of the other women. And this is a company that always will value size above all else. That's their MO. So right away, that's why Rhea and Raquel, they stand out over all the other women. Physically, you look at them, and you can see what sets them apart in terms of size, in terms of height, from a lot of the other women they have on the roster. That's going to work to their advantage. James Hollins, indie wrestling Gargano's a comic genius. I would love to know who came up with that. If it was Gargano or one of the writers there, or who it was. Probably Gargano. I'm guessing it was Gargano or Candice who came up with that. Casey is Raw with the $2. I'll trade you my WWE big gold belt for the Big Eagle. Well, as much as I'd love to add a big gold to my collection, I would not give up the Eagles. That big eagle was the first one I ever owned. Whenever they started making those belts, instead of the foam things they used to sell back in the 80s and the 90s. So, what was it, 2001? That's how far back that goes. It's got sentimental value. And I paid to have it re-leathered. Found some guy in a message board forum. Sandman, Pawn the Sandman, whatever his name was, but yeah, he did the job for me. Domination Warrior, who is the best writer in WWE? Kresge, VKM, or Bruce? Chris Kresge, unfortunately, you know, he's no longer with us. He passed away from cancer many years ago. Very young. He was just in his 30s. He was only in WWE for about a year. And he was known for storyboarding things out. He was mocked by some people in the company for doing it that way. But if you look at the year 2000, which is where he was, I don't know if he was the head writer, but 2000, in my opinion, is the best creative year in WWE. 2000 was a great year creatively and in terms of the talent pool they had. So Kresge, in that limited period of time, was... You know, had what I would say would be great success. Bruce and Vince, You know, I'm not going to start ranking them. They've had their successes. They've had plenty of failures. I always find it comical on his podcast when Pritchard will defend the indefensible. Right? Didn't he try to defend the Red Rooster for Terry Taylor that it wasn't a bad idea? It was a good idea. And this was really wasn't a bad idea. This was a good idea, too. Look, I grew up on a lot of ridiculous characters in that company. Okay? Some of them I enjoyed. Repo Man was a guilty pleasure of mine. I liked the Repo Man. I liked Akeem. He would come out. He was making the most of a shit gimmick. You know, great theme music. There is no defending the Red Rooster. You killed that guy's career in the ring. Terry Taylor's been in wrestling behind the scenes ever since. But you killed that man's career. There is no defending the Red Rooster. And I believe Pritchard, I think, he tried to defend it. That tells you all you need to know about where this guy's headspace is at. This guy's fucking delusional. Chris Quillman, hopefully you've seen the Icons trailer by now. And if so, I'm going to re-ask my question from Sunday. Which one do you want to see the most? He says, for him, it's RVD. So after everybody told me, because when I went on the air for the TLC stream on Sunday, I had not seen the trailer that aired for the new WWE Icons show. And so I didn't know what Icons was. I found out after. So yes, I watched the 12-minute preview because it doesn't debut until the Royal Rumble Sunday, January 31st. So I did watch it, and easily, the one that I'm most looking forward to, because they're covering Lex Luger, Yokozuna, RVD, Beth Phoenix. Who are the other ones that they're covering? Help me out in the chat. I just forgot the other ones. There's one or two more, but the one that I'm looking forward to, oh, the British Bulldog is another one. Those are all great. The one I'm looking forward to the most by far is Yokozuna. That's the one that I'm looking forward to. They had a few brief clips in the trailer that have never been shown before from back in 93 of him behind the scenes, just kind of hanging out. I am really looking forward to the Yokozuna one. That's the one I'm looking forward to the most. Spanish Goddess, AEW dropped the ball on Brian Cage. Well, don't spoil the show for me if you're talking about tonight's show. I haven't watched it yet. Alex Jimenez, thank you for the $12. Have you ever randomly met a WWE star? I met someone from NXT at work this week. Yeah, I've met some randomly, usually when I'm in town for WrestleMania. So if I'm going to WrestleMania, if I'm in wherever the city is, a whole bunch of times I've randomly bumped into people as far as like just casually like where I live. I don't think I've randomly bumped into one. I've randomly bumped into celebrities in the city. If I'm on my lunch break from work, I bumped into the last one I bumped into actually a few years ago was probably Robert De Niro. He was trying to be very inconspicuous. He had his hat pulled down. He had sunglasses on. Denzel Washington, that was another one. He also had the hat and the sunglasses. Didn't want to be noticed, so I didn't say anything. But, he came into my building. I think maybe his dentist was in the building or something. Word spreads quickly if there's a celebrity on the way. It's like, Denzel's coming. I'm like, to do what? To get his teeth cleaned? Okay, whoop-de-doo. But we've had movies filmed, you know, in the city near my office. And it's always amazing to see how people just freak out if there's a celebrity nearby and they could like sniff them out. They were filming the Sex and the City sequel, not too far from where I am. My God, the crazies that came out, the women and some men, but the women that were out there, I mean, it was a madhouse. They were just uncontrollable just to get a glimpse. Just to get a glimpse of what was going on. I'm like, I'm trying to get to my bus. Get the fuck out of the way. Move. I got a bus to catch. Spanish Goddess, how AEW has been booking Brian Cage, it reminds me of how WWE booked EC3 in NXT. They just dropped the ball, and now that super chat is covered by another super chat. So I will read the rest of it after. Let's get back to the calls. I don't want to neglect all of the... hold on a second. I don't want to neglect all of the callers here. Lest I forget about our callers, let's go to 313.
Hello?
Hello, 313. You're on the air.
Hello, Solo Monsters. Jordan.
Oh, it's Jordan. What's going on, Jordan? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Solo Monsters.
Thank you.
I know you think this Tyler Russ person. Do you think that he has a good future? Because he looked pretty good today and last week against Champa. I think that he might be able to win the North American Championship. Because you know Leon Ruff is never going to be champion ever again.
Yeah, I agree. If he had his one run, and I don't think he's winning it back either. The thing is, I haven't seen enough of Tyler Rust. I've only seen him now a couple of times on TV, but yeah, what I've seen so far is impressive. I just need to see more. I need more than just two times. But the more I see him, you know, I could see him eventually challenging for the North American title, absolutely.
Because I think this next week, Gargano's for sure going to beat Leon Ruff, and then he's going to end up attacking from behind, and then we're going to see a New Year's Evil Tyler Ruff versus Gargano for the championship. And we know Tyler Ruff is going to win. Because once they put new guys on the spot,
yeah,
that's their one to win.
I don't think it's going to happen that quickly. I think, you know, Leon Ruff was the new guy, and he won it right away. I don't think they're going to do that again so soon. So I think Tyler Rust, if he's going to be champion, it's going to be a little while. I don't think they're taking the title off Gargano. I like Gargano in this role. I wouldn't be so quick to take that title off him. I thought the segments with him tonight were entertaining.
Because like with Curtis Axel, when Paul Heyman had picked him up from the bottom and brought him to the top to be Intercontinental Champion.
That's right, he did. As soon as he started managing him, I think Axel won the title a few weeks later, and then unfortunately we all see what happened after that. But, yeah, I mean, look, his new manager, I said this Malcolm Bivens guy, he's been around for a long time, but not used on TV. And I want to see more of him, too. Not just Tyler Rust, but, you know, Malcolm Bivens. Maybe he could start managing a few different people. So, yeah, I mean, let's let them get a few more appearances on TV. And let this guy get a few more wins. And then we'll see if maybe at that point he can challenge for a title. But it's way too early to think about him challenging for a championship. But let me ask you a question here before we wrap up. So, obviously, this is the holiday season. How are you spending your holiday this week?
Just sitting down watching football, basically.
Cool. Well, Jordan, is there any other questions here before I get to the next caller after you?
Nope.
Awesome. All right, cool. Well, listen, I'm glad I got you on the air again. I think some people in the chat who are listening, they remember the last time you called in. Remember, do you remember what you told me when I asked you who your favorite wrestler was and what your answer was?
Yes.
Now, tell everybody, for the people who don't know, who your favorite wrestler is.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. And remind everybody how old you are.
10.
10 years old. The smartest 10-year-old in the world. He could have picked anybody from the current roster, but he said Stone Cold Steve Austin because he knows a good wrestler when he sees one. Jordan, I hope you have a great Christmas. I hope you have a great new year, and call back again soon. All right, buddy?
All right,
have a good night.
You too.
That was Jordan, everybody, one of my favorite callers. I remember the last time he called in, when he mentioned Stone Cold, I'm like, this is a kid who was raised the correct way. This is a knowledgeable young wrestling fan. He's got all the right answers, very well spoken, very smart. I like calls like that. That's right. Tech Nation in the chat says somebody is raising that boy right. That is right. That is correct. Oh, so Spanish Goddess, your super chat was obstructed. Let me finish it here. It says, how AEW has been booking Brian Cage reminds him of how WWE booked EC3 and NXT. They just dropped the ball on him. Hope Cage leaves AEW the first chance he gets. Well, what did they do? I mean, did something happen tonight? Did they tar and feather him on TV? Did they flog him? Did they choppy-choppy his pee-pee? What did they do to this guy to make you say that he should leave? What do you think he's going to do? Go to WWE? Like, that's going to be that much better? Are you kidding me? You think that's going to be an upgrade for him? You're not doing him any favors by making that suggestion. J. Cole, thank you for the $5. Man, you bust your butt and are so consistent with content. You deserve way more money than this super chat, but I hope it helps. Thank you. Well, listen, just you tuning in and listening and liking and sharing and all of that is good enough for me. I appreciate that, though. Whoa! Well, there we go. There's a big one. Hashway with the $50 super chat drop. That is, I believe, the biggest one of the night. Says, hey, Solomonster, I put my alarm on at 6 a.m. just to tell you, you are the only guy I can listen to for 2 hours without getting bored. Happy holidays and stay safe. Well, thank you, Hash, for that $50 drop. I appreciate that. And the comments, sometimes I go 2.5 hours. I don't mean to go 2.5 hours. It just kind of happens. But for some reason, people still listen. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do a show like that long solo. But that's the way that I roll. No co-hosts. I've done co-hosted shows before. You know, I haven't had my buddy Noah Mark or Brian Blade because we haven't been able to get together. But perhaps at some point, maybe we'll, in that little super chat window, maybe we'll get somebody else. We'll get somebody else's face in that window. But people don't like that, though. On the occasions where I've done that, they say, no, I just want you. Thank you. That means a lot to me. All right. Oofman Entertainment with Dream back on TV. I'm guessing all is well with him and the company backstage. Well, according to Triple H months ago, nothing to see here. Everything's just, everything's coup de la. Everything's great. Nothing to see here. So, I guess what else are we left to believe other than the company is satisfied that everything is well with the Velveteen Dream, except for the fact that he has been completely de-pushed, which would indicate that all is not well with the Velveteen Dream, or else he would be in the same position he was in before. 504.
What is up, Solemn Monster? It's Josh, a.k.a. Shino Phoenix from New Orleans.
What's going on, Shino?
Not much, man. Just chilling as always and calling because, I was very happy when I saw Mercedes Martinez back attacking EO, which I remember calling you like months ago and said, what if they did EO versus Mercedes? I still remember that. I'm like, I got to talk to Solomonster about that because that was just, it just clicked just like that. Well, I'm so happy that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a great match too. But boy, you talk about just being in a much better position than she otherwise would be in right now. I mean, poor Mia Yim. She was also on NXT.
Yeah.
And now she's twitching and she's scratching and she's rolling all around things on TV. Yeah, I mean, it's so sad.
And dropping her mask.
It's so sad. It's such a fucking disgrace. Yeah. It really is.
I just hope she leaves that group and just goes out on her own. But I just feel like that ain't going to happen anytime soon.
It's not. They're going to keep riding this retribution thing. And at some point, hopefully they'll get something good out of it. But boy, this has been the big, I look back at the fails.
A disaster.
I look back at the fails of 2020 and this is way up there
this
on the
is
list.
A big one.
Oh yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, but I also have another question, and this really popped in my mind a little bit, and it's involved New Year's Evil and it's Damian Priest and Karrion Kross. Do you feel like, I think this might be Damian Priest's final match in NXT. Do you feel like that they might have plans for him to get called up? Because I remember hearing from Sean Rossap, like when he was doing his Q&A on Patreon, that he predicts that Damian Priest might be called up pretty soon.
Wouldn't shock me. He's already been North American champion. I don't think he necessarily has to hold the NXT title. I think that you could call him up and slot him in on Raw or SmackDown. And yeah, I mean, he's more than ready. I don't think it's a case where he needs more seasoning or anything like that. They've called up people to the main roster who had no business going to the main roster. I wouldn't put him in that camp. Mm-hmm. So if that's what he's reporting, I don't know that if that's the case or not. But yeah, wouldn't shock me at all.
It's like a prediction. It's just a prediction.
Just a prediction? All right. Well, I mean, look, I don't think he's going to beat Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross just came back. But Karrion Kross is another one who I'd be shocked if they didn't want him on the main roster soon, you know, with that entrance and Scarlett. So take your pick. Either one of those guys could be called up soon, either to Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, I could see that. And just one more question, and it involves the women's tag titles. And, you know, I'm a huge Asuka fan, and I feel like they're trying to make those women's tag titles feel important, but if it was up to me, I would send them to NXT, but knowing them, they would try and overexpose Charlotte a little bit like they did last time. But if you had to pick somebody from NXT to like take the titles from Charlotte and Asuka, who would you pick?
So an NXT team, well, we don't have too many women's teams in NXT. They have a lot of women. So are you saying if I just took two singles women and put them together,
like a Dakota or Raquel or Casey Catanzaro, Kaden Carter or Candice and Indy?
I could see Candice and Indy. If Candice is not going to get the women's title, like, maybe get the women's tag titles. Well, you know what? I'll say this.
If
them winning the women's tag team titles would mean that the entire group gets to float from one brand to the other, that could be the way to get Johnny Gargano on some of these other shows without him officially being part of the main roster. You know, that might not be a terrible idea. Candice is probably not winning the women's title anytime soon, so it's a way to get a title on her. I guess it's a possibility. Yeah. I mean, I just...
I just think it's a possibility too, man.
Yeah. I can't think of any other women's... there's no active women's teams in NXT that I think are... Like you mentioned Casey and Kaden, but I don't see that. They're not ready. They're not ready for that.
They just haven't built them up that much.
That's going to take time.
Or it could be Xia Li and Karen Q.
Possibly.
That was just... Yeah, I would think of that as well.
Yeah, they were teaming up before Karen got hurt. So if they end up putting the team back together, yeah, I could see that, sure.
Mm-hmm. But I was just calling up just to chat with you as always, bro. Like, I already know what I'm about to do for the holidays. Like, I'm probably going to chill with my bro, possibly play some video games, and maybe Saturday I might stream on Twitch, I guess.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah, like I said, possibly streaming on Twitch because I just got back into it.
Well, what do you play, any particular game?
I play Fall Guys. I do rage in that most of the time. And I usually do random tournaments on Fire Pro Wrestling World.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was playing Fire Pro for a while before my computer started having fits and I had to stop. But that's cool. That's very cool. Well, listen, whatever you end up doing... have a great holiday, and if we don't talk before then, have a wonderful new year, and hopefully you can join at least for a little bit on Thursday next week for the New Year's Eve stream.
Oh, you know I'm going to be there, Solomon.
Oh, you better be.
I can't miss that.
You better be. All right.
Oh, you know it, because I know I'm having a little get-together at my house, so I said, why not just listen to Solomon on New Year's and just ring the bell on this shitty year?
That's it.
like, I just want 2020 to be over and done with.
That's it. Well, we'll all ring in the new year together. We'll all celebrate the death of 2020 and the birth of 2021.
Let's just end with broken Matt Hardy would say, delete 2020.
There you
out
go.
Out of existence.
There you go. In fact, you know what? I might actually, that might be the title for my stream. I have to come up with a title, a catchy title for my New Year's Eve stream. Maybe the
deletion of 2020.
Yeah, maybe like delete 2020. So I gotta think. I gotta come up with it. That's not a terrible idea. Maybe something along those lines. We'll see.
Yeah, I think it should involve deletion.
All right, my friend. Take care and have a great holiday.
You too, Solomon. Take care.
All right. Have a good night. Yeah, I gotta come up with a spiffy name for the. New Year's Eve stream. Just calling it the Solid Monster New Year's Eve stream is kind of lame. So I got to come up with a name for it. A toast to 2021, says Silver Rules Gaming. That's not bad. That's not bad. Ant Ran in the chat is shocked. He sees NXT reviews everywhere, all over YouTube. Well, what else do you expect? Everyone who normally reviews AEW is reviewing NXT. Or at least some people are, probably. And No Name Required says the video seems to have dandruff. Yes, the video has a very bad dandruff problem. It's called snow. All right, let's before we get back to the calls, let's run through some more Super Chats. Hashway. Oh, I think I'm all caught up. Hashway was the last one with the $50 drop. Again, thank you to him again. That was very kind of him. So I think for the time being, we are caught up on your questions via Super Chat. So let's take our next call. And we will go to 347.
Hey, hello?
Hello.
Hey, hi. First time caller. My name is Ted. First time caller. Been listening to since like 2014.
Wow, so awesome.
Thank you so much for all the podcasts. You know, happy holidays.
Same to you.
Thank you. There's one question, like, that I've been itching, like, the back of my head, right? Who do you think is going to be the Royal Rumble winner?
Are we talking men's? Or
been pushing nobody.
Are we talking men's or women's?
We're talking about men's. I figured Bianca Belair is going to win the women's. Like, they've been building her up to win the women's.
Yeah, I've been saying that, too. Yeah.
Only one superstar, I think. Okay, and only one superstar, like, I see, and that's Big E. But he's going for the Intercontinental title right now.
Yeah, Big
E. That's the only person I see winning that.
Yeah, Big E is the one. I had floated Big E as a possibility because I think that there could have been a good story there. But with him challenging for the IC title this week, and I said on the TLC stream, I think, you know, he's probably, in my opinion, he's going to win it. I guess we'll find out on Friday. But it's not going to be Big E. I'm pretty resigned to that already, that it's probably not going to be him. So now you're getting into, okay, if not Big E, then who? You're right. There is no obvious person. You could say Sheamus and then set up Sheamus and Drew to be the WrestleMania match, because how else do you get to friend versus friend? Well, if Sheamus wins the Rumble, he's guaranteed a title shot. So you can do that. I'm not overly enamored with that idea, but okay, so let's say it's not him. Then Daniel Bryan would seem to be the obvious choice to me, because you could do Bryan and Roman at WrestleMania.
Right.
So there you go. There's your answer. I think it's probably going to be Daniel Bryan.
Winning the Royal Rumble?
Yeah. And going on to challenge Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
Honestly, I will book it. I will let Daniel Bryan challenge at the Royal Rumble. And let Big E like challenge at WrestleMania as like a locker room leader type of ordeal. Like Daniel Bryan is like the locker room leader as of this moment, and then Roman Reigns take him out, and then Big E has like.
Hash in the chat, as far as the New Year's Eve stream, I'm thinking it's going to be. Let me just answer his question here real quick. I'm pretty sure it's going to be 10 p.m. on next Thursday, but it's going to be 10 or 11. So I'll decide this weekend when that stream is going to start. and then I'll let everybody know. I wanted to answer his question because I saw it pop up in the chat and it almost disappeared. So, but anyway, yeah, the Royal Rumble. Look, you're not wrong. I originally, when I thought Big E might win, I thought you could do the Bryan match at the Rumble. But don't forget, there's one wild card here. And here's another option for a Royal Rumble winner. And I don't like it, and you probably won't like it either. But if they were going to do this match at WrestleMania, you could be in a situation where Bill Goldberg wins the Royal Rumble. And I hope that is not the case.
They can't do that.
Oh, yes, they could. You have not been watching this company for very long if you don't think they could do it. Yes, they could.
Oh, trust me. No, I've been watching. I know they will pull the trigger, but if they're in a slump right now. If they do that, they lose everybody. I personally feel like they're going to lose every single person if they do that. Anybody besides Bill Goldberg. So
anybody?
But no, I appreciate
it. Be careful what you wish for.
Question.
You're talking about a roster that has Baron Corbin on it, so be careful.
Oh, man.
Be careful.
You're right. Not Baron Corbin either.
That's right.
I appreciate it, man.
Awesome. Listen, have a great holiday, and thank you for the call.
All right, thank you. Happy holidays to you, too.
All right, take care. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not telling you guys that I think Bill Goldberg is going to win the Rumble, but we know Goldberg is going to wrestle. He's under contract. He's teasing a match with Roman Reigns. It will happen at some point. It does not have to be at WrestleMania. Do that at the Royal Rumble and save Big E or Daniel Bryan, or more likely Daniel Bryan, for WrestleMania. But if they want to do Goldberg and Roman, and Goldberg is going to challenge for the Universal Championship, he automatically becomes one of the top two or three choices to win the Royal Rumble. Because the winner of the Royal Rumble is supposed to go to WrestleMania to challenge for the championship. So, I'm just saying, I'm not trying to put that evil out there, but that is a definite possibility. Let's go to, let's see, who's our next one? Going to get to a whole bunch more. Let us go next. Boy, we're all jammed up here, aren't we? Isn't that always the case? 860.
How you doing, Solomon?
Doing well. How are you? Who am I talking to?
This is Pedro Velasquez. I have been in your podcast like a couple of weeks ago, but due to all the priorities, I don't really follow up with you. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to give you the thanks for your podcast. They've been very entertaining, and there was something for me to do while we're in this pandemic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad you enjoy it.
Yeah, well, listen, Merry, happy Christmas, and I hope that everything goes well, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's a cliche question. I became a fan of this wrestling for the past 5 years. I guess not too long ago. So, to get my appreciation what we have now, I went back and looked at the Attitude Era, the Ruthless Aggression Era. And, this question that I have, why do you think the product is so, different? I mean, when I look back at the Attitude Era or The Rock and Stone Cold, even the promos were, so amazing.
Yeah,
It's really not fair to compare it now, because I understand, you can't compare the Attitude Era right now because, it was different back then, different environment, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like there's some core things that you can't go away from. Like, that's what we became a fan in the first place. So what do you think is, not to repeat myself, what do you think is, majorly different compared to, back then or now? Even the Ruthless Aggression Era, even though a lot of people didn't like that era, I personally didn't mind. I know there were some dumb things.
A lot of people liked it. No. A lot of people have very fond memories of the Ruthless, like 2002, 2003. I mean, there was a lot to love about SmackDown.
Right, yeah.
Not so much Raw. I just think, look, it's a different company now than it was then. It's a much bigger company, and everything is very formulaic. They have their formula. They have their way of doing things. It's very you've got to just operate within these parameters, and here's what you need to do, and don't go over time, on your segments and all that. And I just think you've got the same one person who has been running the show for, what, decades? After a while, you get one person. It's one person's vision. And that person just so happens to be 75 years old, controlling a roster that, I don't know, if I had to take a guess at what the average age is on the WWE roster, it's probably early 30s would be my guess. You just get to a point where it's like you need some fresh blood in there. You need some a fresh vision of what the product should be. And until we get that, it's just going to be more of what we got. And so, unfortunately, like you said, it's kind of unfair to compare it to all those other eras. It really, it's a totally different company now. And I think, you know, they still make money from their TV contracts. So, you know what? I'll tell you the biggest difference is, one of the biggest differences, and why I think they're so content to just be lazy and keep doing the same shit. The last time that they really were forced to change, right, was in the late 90s, before the Attitude Era officially started. They were on the brink of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
I mean, they were in rough shape financially. And WCW started kicking their ass. And they were losing talent to WCW. It was embarrassing. All their big stars were jumping over there. And they were losing on TV every week. Vince McMahon's back was up against the wall. He was being embarrassed. He was being beaten. And sometimes you need that. You need that to motivate you to light a fire under your ass to just, all right, snap out of it and let's do what needs to be done. There's nobody around. My point is, there's nobody around now to do that. His back is not against the wall. He's in the top spot. He's still making money. Why change? And that's part of the problem.
Yeah, and I totally agree. You know, I was only born in 1999. I missed the best like era that wrestling has to offer.
You did.
And then once I look back, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I mean, not everything was amazing.
Yeah, not everything.
But like, you know,
not everything.
The promos, even the wrestling, like the TLC match between Edge and Christian, the Dudley Boys.
Yep.
Like, all right, that match was perfect.
Yeah, it was just I kind of feel bad every time somebody tells me, oh, I'm a newer fan, I didn't really like live through that era. I feel bad because I could tell you as a younger fan then it was a lot of fun. And but that doesn't mean you can't go back and enjoy it, right? You got the network or YouTube or whatever, you can still watch old clips. But I think if you're just going to wait around for WWE to kind of get back to being that again, you're going to be waiting a long time. I think you can enjoy, there's a way to enjoy the WWE product, but it's just going to be harder to do until they get some new creative ideas in there. And you can bring in all the new writers in the world. You can fire everybody who works there except the one guy who matters and bring a whole new team in. And unless he's willing to change, you're going to end up in the same boat. That's why I talked about this on the podcast on Sunday. I did a whole segment on this. I see a lot of people talking about what to do to fix Monday Night Raw. Let's do this, and let's make it 2 hours, and let's blah, 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 blah. That sounds all great. That sounds well and good. And guess what? It doesn't matter, because you're missing the one ingredient, the most important thing. It is the man who runs the show. And unless that changes, you can make the show 90 minutes for all I care. 90 minutes of shit is still shit. Right?
Right. Absolutely, yeah. And
so there you go.
I have one more last question before I go on to Solo Monster.
Sure.
If you had to pick between, I guess, The Rock and Triple H, who would you pick? That's like the favorite, like overall wrestler between them two. And I know Triple H has been here already longer, but if I had to pick one, I guess I'll pick The Rock.
The Rock.
But I understand that, you know,
The Rock.
Triple H was, you know, his longevity. Yeah. But The Rock was, oh my God. He's The Rock. Probably like one of my favorites.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even, for me, it's The Rock. I mean, there you go. But yeah. You want to make it a buy or sell? I have a segment on my show, buy or sell. I'm buying on The Rock. and I'll sell on Triple H. And that doesn't mean I don't enjoy or I haven't enjoyed a lot of Triple H's matches. I'm not saying that. But just in terms of the total package and just overall, who's entertained me more? The Rock.
Yes, The Rock. Absolutely.
Cool.
I'm with you, brother.
All right, man.
All right, Solomon, you take care, man. Thank you for the podcast.
All right. The Rock. How could I vote against The Rock? Rock and Triple H, they had a great feud all those years ago. But you asked me who, you know, total package, favorite wrestler, most entertaining of the two. It's The Rock. I mean, come on. Don't be asking questions with such an obvious answer. Got one more super chat in here from Marcus Metcalf. Thank you for the five. The WWE Hall of Fame should be a one-week exhibit that travels with WrestleMania every year. Could be a great tourist attraction outside or alongside, he says, of Mania. Well, they already have that. It's called Fan Access. Fan Access goes wherever WrestleMania goes. And basically, in the hall where Fan Access takes place, it's like one giant Hall of Fame exhibit. They've got burnt out, wrecked vehicles that have been destroyed on TV over the years. They've got old championship belts and ring gear. So they already have it. That's what Fan Access is. So, I mean, your idea is, it's not a bad one, but they already have something like that. I think we have another one coming in. Oh, Hashway should be popping up here any second. Ashway dropping another 10. Love the theme and the snow in tonight's stream. There he is. Love the theme and the snow in tonight's stream. Always appreciate your work. See you on New Year's Eve. Tonight it's snow. Next week when the ball drops, it's confetti. I got it all lined up. I got the light up glasses. Although it might look weird because it's a mirrored image here. So I'll wear it, like the glasses say 2021, but if it's mirrored, it'll be backwards, but that's okay. I just like this camera look better, so. But thank you for the $10 on a poll, bro. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're enjoying the look of the stream. Try to spice it up for the holidays, you know. Change things up a little bit. Make it a little more festive, right? Nothing wrong with that. Let's go back to the phones. We'll take a few more before we wrap up. This has been fun. This has been fun hanging out with you guys. Caller, let everybody know who it is.
How you doing, Solomon, sir?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Hey, good.
Well, let me say Merry Christmas to Luis, who is joining us tonight here on the NXT stream. I hope you are having a very festive night. You have any Christmas plans, Luis?
I'm going to my cousin's with my neighbor.
With your neighbor?
Yes. Oh. And no, it's not a date.
I didn't know what it was. I don't know any of my neighbors. I just keep to myself. I don't like any of the people who live around me. So I'm glad that you could at least get along with your neighbors.
In this neighborhood, in this part of North Long Beach, I am getting along with all the neighbors.
Well, that's good. It's always good to get along with your neighbors, because if you got to live with them, it would be very awkward if you didn't like each other. And you'd have, like, wars between the neighbors. You'd be, you know, your car would be keyed. Somebody would slash your tires. Something awful like that would happen. So you always want to get along with your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Mr. Even Rogers always saw, "Won't you be my neighbor?" He got along with his neighbors too.
Of course he did. Even with the female neighbors.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, do you know something about Mr. Rogers that I don't? Don't be spreading rumors about Mr. Rogers now.
Oh, hell no.
It's two names that you don't.
And before you laugh.
There's two names.
Hold on.
There's two names that you do not besmirch. One is Mr. Rogers, and the other is Bob Ross. Now, if you don't know who Bob Ross is, you got to look him up. He is a painter. He used to paint very basic portraits on this public access show. He had a big afro hairdo, but he had a great show. Bob Ross and Mr. Rogers. Do not besmirch their good names.
Oh, man, I used to watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Well,
that's not the reason why I'm calling.
Oh, I was going to say, let's get to the point. Get to the reason why you're calling here, because let's move things along.
So, apparently, Monday night on Raw, I don't know if this was a USA Network issue or an issue with the USA Network app when you're logged in with your television provider, but the audio was off by 53 minutes during the first hour of Monday Night Raw. Did anybody else have the same issue as I did?
I did not. It may have been your provider and not USA.
My television provider is DirecTV.
Well, it may have been
a And you know what? Fuck DirecTV. I am fucking sick of them signing me out of every single television app, not just from the USA Network, but from the TNT drama app, from Disney Channel, from Cartoon Network, Freeform. I'm sick of it.
Well, I'll give you a quick suggestion, if I may, because obviously you don't like your provider. I would go with something like Fubo, which is, getting a lot of play, and I talk about it on my show as well. You sign up for it. It works via your Wi-Fi. It's like online streaming. You get all the channels you want, and you don't even have to deal with DirecTV anymore. I even have a link that you can use if you want to get 15% off your first month. You go to FuboTV.com/SolidMonsterLuis. Just for you, you get 15% off your first month. You can say, fuck DirecTV. So go with Fubo.
Well, unfortunately, I have to stay with DirecTV because the giant jack-offs they are.
All right, Luis, listen. I agree with you 100%. These companies suck, but I don't have DirecTV, and frankly, I don't give a fuck about DirecTV. I don't want to give them any airtime on my show. So let's forget DirecTV. Any final questions or comments here before we move on?
Well, two things. Number one.
All right, make it quick.
I just sent you a PayPal donation.
Wow. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Right here on screen.
Well, that's very nice of you.
And second, what the fuck did we watch on Sunday with that Firefly Inferno match?
Well, we saw the closest thing to a real Inferno match that we've ever gotten. I mean, at least they delivered on the stipulation. That's the best thing I can say about that match. I expect Bray Wyatt to be back on TV within 2 weeks.
So do you think that was
extra crispy.
A cinematic match? Do you think that was a cinematic match?
No,
it was
not a cinematic match. No, it was filmed like a regular match with special effects.
I was like, the fuck,
Luis, listen, I want you and your neighbor to have a great Christmas together, whatever it is that you're doing. You said it's completely platonic. I'll take your word for it. And have a great new year. And hopefully you can also join during the New Year's Eve stream on Thursday next week.
Probably.
Cool. I'll drop by. I'll be on for a couple of hours then, so you can drop in. I'll be answering mailbag questions and ringing in the new year. So, Luis, thank you for the call, and have a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Fall Monster. I will see you next week.
That sounds great. Thank you very much. That was Luis joining us here on the final pre-Christmas stream. Always exhausting, but always entertaining. We got a super chat from Oz and Glorious. What's going on, Oz? Just came in to hear about AEW, and instead I'm hearing this cat whine about DirecTV with NXT. on the screen. This is the NXT review. AEW went on the air late. It's their loss. They were too late tonight, so I went with NXT. And it's all festive. We've been talking about a whole bunch of different things, not just NXT. Been taking comments, answering questions. We're going to wrap it up here in a second. So let me just see who we got left on the line. I'm not going to be able to get to everybody on the phone, but we have a few people who have been waiting for a while. So let's go to 407.
Yo, Solid Monster, it's KC the Most. How's it going,
man? KC, how are you, sir?
Pretty good, pretty good. Just trying to get through work. I got 17 hours left.
Oof.
Thank God you were streaming tonight.
Man. Well, hey, I try. I'm not going to be streaming for 17 hours, but at least we can kill a little bit of that time.
And I know that's right. I'm going to stick to the subject because I don't know what that last call was about.
I don't either. And I heard the whole thing.
I was listening to it through the phone, man. Like, while I was waiting to get on the line.
Hey, you didn't throw your phone? But, you didn't smash it on the ground into little itty-bitty pieces?
Well, when you pay over $1,000 for an iPhone, that's the last thing you want to do.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you have that Apple Care.
Yeah, no, that's right. I thought NXT was a solid show tonight. And it's like, you know, I think that people are too hard on NXT. Like, that guy talking about it's like Monday Night Raw, that's BS.
Yeah, that was a little, that's overboard.
Yeah, I just think that a lot of people are just, you know, they're burnt out on WWE, so they flock to AEW.
Mr. Mike in the chat says, what kind of job is that? That sounds illegal.
I'm a security officer, security site supervisor. So the reason why I have long hours is when people decide to call in on me at the last moment.
There you go.
I have to fill in.
They screw you over. That's how it always works. Man.
Yep. Talking about they got COVID, and then you see them hanging out at the club downtown.
Well, yeah. And on that, I'm glad that I assume you're feeling good and doing better.
Yes, I'm 100%. It's just, you know, Florida with the weird weather, man. Like, I don't know what to wear most of the time. Because it's hot, and then at night it drops down to 40. And I'm like, damn, I forgot my jacket.
Oh, my goodness. And Markel, love you, Markel. Markel says, I said what I said. That's a man who's going to stick to his, I think he's the one that made the comment, but he's going to stick to his convictions. And
you got to
appreciate that, if nothing else, right?
That's true. I mean, I have the right to disagree because I just think that a lot of people are just burnt out on WWE, like I said, and AEW is the new kid on the block, and everybody flocks to that. I think that NXT was great, especially the women. The women are holding it down there.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's why I wish that they would. You know, that's why I wish they would just unify, you know, the SmackDown and Raw Women's Championship and attack, just have the tag team just float back and forth between all three different brands. That's what I would do. That way.
Whoa, look at that. Hold on a second here. We got a breaking super chat from PB, who just dropped a $100 bomb. Let's get some confetti on the screen here to celebrate our $100 super chat. Look at this. I'm all about the special effects today. Look at this. You got snow. You got confetti. Holy shit. Thank you, PB. That's awesome. Did he have a message? Let me just check real quick. Happy holidays, he says. That's very nice of you. Thank you very much, man. I got the best fans in the world, including KC, who's joining us live on the air.
Now, much appreciated. That's cool for him to do that, man. It's really cool. You know, it shows you that you've been doing right all these years, man. I enjoy your stuff. I watch it all the time, even though I'm not the biggest AEW fan, period. I still tune in every Wednesday to watch because it's like, you know, Solid Monster. I'm not going to miss none of that stuff.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, you've been one of the loyal ones, man. I think it's very cool to get that kind of support. I am very lucky. It took 13 years to build this show up to get to that point, but you know what? It was worth it.
Oh, man, I mean, you have to realize, you know, that, you know, your content and just you help people get through some of the most difficult times in their lives. Me being homeless, me being sick, the one constant thing that I always had was like, yo, Sunday's coming up. I got to catch the show. It's like a religious thing, man. I'm like, I got to catch it. I got to listen to what he's got to say this week about this.
Yeah, I mean, I hear from people. You know, it makes sense, though, because it could be whether it's this show or any other show. I mean, people, they get into a routine, and they get very accustomed to that routine. And so when other shit goes south and things get bad, what do? You look for those things that are constant, right? So it kind of makes sense. And it blows me away to hear stuff like that. But I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, that is the truth. And I just have one more thing I want to throw out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sticking to what I think is going to happen. Charlotte's going to win the Royal Rumble because accomplishment. No, I don't. I'm not saying I want her to win, but I'm saying that's the one thing that she doesn't have on her resume is a Royal Rumble win, and you know that isn't going to give her that.
Didn't she win the Royal Rumble this year?
I think she's going to win the Rumble. She just came back. I think she's going to win the Rumble so that she can get the title from Asuka.
No, I'm saying
that's exactly what I think.
I'm saying she won the Royal Rumble this year in 2020.
Did she?
Remember Shayna Baszler who came down to her and Shayna, and I thought Shayna was going to win, and then Shayna ended up getting dumped out, and Charlotte went on, and Charlotte ended up choosing Rhea Ripley as her opponent.
Honestly, you know, everything runs together. It's just like the time I went.
It just happened this year. This is what I'm talking about. There are things that happen in WWE now. Like if you ask me a question about something that happened 20 years ago, I could probably give you an answer. There are things like that happened on TV 2 weeks ago. You asked me a question. I'm like, I have a dumb look on my face. And you have fallen victim to the same syndrome. She just won the Royal Rumble. Now, look, I love you, brother, but I got to call you out on this. He is telling me the one thing on Charlotte's resume that she doesn't have is a Royal Rumble win. And it just so happens you say this in the 1 year that she won the Royal Rumble. I love it.
That's my bad, man. That's the thing. Like a little earlier, you said in the chat, "What is your one grievance with WWE?"
She is the current Royal Rumble champion. So, to answer your question, the idea of her winning it back to back years and pulling a Shawn Michaels or a Stone Cold, I hope not. It's not something that she.
You don't think they wouldn't do that?
No, I absolutely think they would do that, but I'm hoping they don't. I'm hoping common sense prevails. And, you know, look, you've got two women's titles, right? Let's assume Asuka is going to be the champion going into WrestleMania. It looks to me like we could very well be setting up for another Charlotte-Asuka match. But Charlotte's already won the Rumble. The other match should be, if they are fucking smart and use their brain, Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. I think Bianca could benefit
more. I would like to see that more.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. Charlotte doesn't need it. Bianca, that would be huge. It would be huge. And they've done this before. They put new people over before. 2 years ago, Shinsuke Nakamura won the men's match and Asuka won the women's match. That should be a spot for Bianca in 2021.
True. And as for the men's Royal Rumble, like everybody's talking about Big E, I think that Keith Lee is tailor-made for him. I think they could give him that monster push like they did with Kane when he was just tossing everybody out. I could see Keith Lee winning the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, absolutely. It's possible. Sure.
You know, but I'm not going to keep you, man. It's always fun talking to you. And you enjoy your Christmas. I'm going to be working tomorrow and working through New Year's as well because security don't get no time off.
Man. Well, look, you're going to get more content from me, so I'll be able to help you kill at least a few hours.
I'll be looking forward to that. One more thing. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. One more thing. Just a quick question. Do you plan on bringing back the Sound Off Gamers? Because I really miss that, man.
I want to. It really is just a matter of what can I find to play via the computer, because I wouldn't be using a console, so it would have to be like a free game, or they have like ROMs and old console games you could play on the computer. What can I play that my computer will play nice with? And
I know the perfect game. I know that everybody will agree with me. WWF No Mercy for Nintendo 64. I think everybody would enjoy that.
I found a copy of it online, but I couldn't get the controls to work. So if I could ever figure out the controls on the keyboard, that is a possibility. So yeah, the answer is it's probably not coming back for a little while, but I want to bring it back. So it's just a matter of figuring out what to play.
Definitely. Well, you enjoy your Christmas, man. You have a good night.
Thank you, Casey. You have a very Merry Christmas.
Take care. You too. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. So that was Casey with a very nice call here on the Wednesday night festive. Well, I guess now it's Christmas Eve. It is officially Christmas Eve. Wow, it's already after midnight. I didn't expect to go this long. PB, again, thank you for that C-note, man. That's very, very nice. I think he went to bed already, but that's very nice of you. Jackalope Music, Merry Christmas, Solemn Monster. AEW was pretty decent. I'll be watching that tomorrow. But I will not be doing a separate YouTube review. Most likely, I'll probably just save my thoughts for the Sunday show. And Oz and Glorious. I agree with this dude. I haven't watched WWE in 20 years, but know everything that is going on there because of the Solemn Monster. Well, that's the other thing I hear a lot. People who don't even watch anymore. So they listen to the podcast, keep up with what's going on. Because once wrestling gets in your blood, you come on, you know, you can't get it out. You don't want to completely give up on things. But they just cannot bring themselves to sit through 3 hours of Raw and 2 hours of SmackDown. So what do? You listen to podcasts, you watch YouTube shows, and that way you're able to keep up with what's going on. I wasn't doing this podcast. I'm at the point now where I might be doing the same thing. And this is from a fan of well over 30 years. It's sad. That's the point that we've reached. All right, I'm caught up with the super chats. Let's see here. Let's do one. Man, I wish I could get to everybody, but let's do. Let's do 757.
Hello, Mr. J. This is David, a.k.a. Frost from the chat.
Hey, David. What's going on?
Oh, not much. You see, when it comes to the current state of NXT, I really think the main problem is really is just not only because the whole thing of, like, you know, like when stars get caught up to NXT, they ultimately get wasted away. I think that one of the main problems is that they lost their main factor. They don't have the fans, because if it's one thing you notice, NXT is one of those things where it's like they feed off the energy of the crowd, and it's like they don't have no crowd, so therefore they have no energy.
True. I think that that's a fair point.
And also another point I'm trying to make is you pretty much made it quite clear that the main everyone knows that the main problem in WWE is obviously Vince McMahon, and the only way WWE is going to prove is to get rid of him. But the thing people don't seem to realize is that, everybody always seems to have this stigma and expectation that whenever Vince steps down from power, that things are automatically going to improve and flourish in WWE, when that's really not the case, because even when Vince does step down, they still have a shitload of fixing to do. They got to decide who's going to be in control. They got to fix a badly damaged product. They got to try to win fans back, salvage trust, and all
that.
Yeah,
look, I mean, my point.
The point I'm trying to...
Yeah, my point, and that's a fair point. My point is not, I've never said that. I've never said that once Vince is gone, everything is going to be great. Everything's going to be tulips and daisies. What I said was, you cannot begin to try to fix things until you have somebody new in that creative position. And I'm not even saying Vince should leave the company. It's his company. All I'm saying is he should remove himself from the creative process. Once that happens, I don't know who the person is who replaces him. Or maybe it's a committee. Maybe it's a whole bunch of different people. What I'm saying is you cannot begin to truly change things until he removes himself from the process. Maybe he removes himself from the process and things get worse. Maybe he removes himself and things get better. But you can't find out until that happens. So that was my point.
Yeah, I see. Yes, I know that's your point, but obviously, but I wasn't talking about you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just wanted to clarify. And that's cool. I just wanted to clarify mine because there could be other people who think, oh well, you know, Solomonster thinks if Vince is gone, things are going to be great. Not necessarily, but you can't start the process until, in my opinion, until that happens. So anyway, any other final comments here before we wrap up?
Just a couple more comments. One of my first comments is simply, like, I remember when you were talking about earlier about what is raw about Monday Night Raw, I pretty much have an answer to that. The only thing raw about Monday Night Raw is pretty much Vince treating Raw like it's a rotting corpse.
Like The Walking Dead. Yeah, I've made that comparison before. Unfortunately, it's true. It is. The Walking Dead is another show. It's been on the air for a long time. They've lost a lot of their audience. I still watch, just like I watch Raw. But it's kind of like that, right? It's kind of like a rotting corpse that just won't go away. Except The Walking Dead is going away, actually. They're going into their final season. And if Vince McMahon doesn't make changes soon, that could be him one day. I don't want to see Raw go away. I want to see Raw improve. I want to see Raw get better.
Yes, I said yes. And one more point that I want to make before you wrap it up is pretty much everyone knows, like I said, as we all know, NXT is a really good thing. It's a good product. It's a good product. It's very consistent and it's cracking out good shows on a regular basis. But the thing I've always wondered is that do you think, and just like WCW did for a while back then, do you think that AEW is pretty much doing as well it is because they're flourishing at a time where WWE is just so happen to be doing this dirt poor worse creatively?
I think they're benefiting from that. I think that you have certain fans who are looking for something different, and so they're more willing to sample the new guys. So, you know, I think AEW would probably have a pretty decent audience even if WWE was, you know, lighting the world on fire. But I think the fact that there are a lot of people who are very disenchanted with it, yeah, of course, that benefits AEW. You're going to get more people who are more likely to check them out and say, okay, let me check this other product out.
Yes, and I said yes. I said yes, and that's all I got for you, Solomonster. Thanks for taking my call, and Merry Christmas to you, man.
All right, Merry Christmas to you as well. So let us wrap it up now. I have a few questions in the chat. Oz wanted to. I did not actually miss your super chat. I'm sorry, I did see that. He wanted to know if I saw the Sting music video. I found out the other night that Sting was in a music video. I did not see it. I forgot to look it up when the stream was over. So I will try to do that tonight, but I did not see it. So, nor do I know who the artist is. So in the chat, remind me again, and I will look it up. And then somebody also wanted to know, Henry, when is your next Instagram post? Yeah, I don't post on Instagram nearly as much as I should. So I'll try to get something up there very soon. All righty then. I think that we are all caught up on your messages. So this was fun. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad that you guys can spend a Wednesday night with me. I hope you have enjoyed the holiday motif. Oh, it's a band called Islander. That's right. Thank you. I will look that up. So, a very Gargano Christmas is in the books, and a very Solomonster Christmas, I guess, with all the bells and whistles. We're going to bring this to a close. I do want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas, however you are spending it, if you are celebrating, if you're doing it alone this year because of circumstances, or if you are with family, I hope you all have a great holiday, and I hope you all will join me next week. I'm going to be back here on Wednesday. there is going to be an AEW stream next Wednesday night. We're going to be back to normal. All you AEW folks, don't worry. And the very next night, New Year's Eve, probably 10 p.m. Eastern, probably 10. I'll let you guys know on Twitter. Join me for a New Year's Eve inbox. I'm going to be answering your email questions, thesolemonster@gmail.com. Get those email questions in. And super chats, maybe phone calls, we'll see. So it's going to be a good time. So be well, stay safe, happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Or as Smokey Robinson said, hope you all enjoyed Chanukka. I hope you, all my Jewish listeners, I hope you enjoyed Chanukka last week. I laughed my ass off when I saw that cameo. I felt bad for him. But when I saw that cameo clip of Smokey saying Chanukka, I lost my shit. Anyway, happy holidays. I'm going to get the hell out of here. Merry Christmas, everybody.